Reading is taken from Romans 11, starting at verse 33 through to verse 2, chapter 12, and it's on page 157 of the Bibles. Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him to receive a gift in return? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory for ever. Amen. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, and what is good and acceptable and perfect.
I wonder if someone said to you, well, sometimes you talk about worship. What does worship look like? What is worship? We spend a lot of time in this building, perhaps, for a number of us. Maybe we think that worship is the songs that we sing. Sometimes we refer to what happens with the piano and the singers as worship, and rightly so, because it is. Maybe some of us have had the opportunity to go and spend time perhaps at a large Christian festival or a conference, and we've been there and we've been surrounded by thousands of people, literally, or perhaps it's been in a stadium and we've been there as one amongst a thousand people, and the praise has been ringing out and there seems to have been an atmosphere, and we've thought to ourselves, this is really worshipping God. Maybe we've had the opportunity to be in an experience where we've had the opportunity to reflect and to spend time quietly. Perhaps we've been on a retreat. Maybe we've taken time out and we've had either someone to guide us, or we've had that opportunity just to sit quietly, and it might have involved a walk in a woodland or an opportunity to spend time in a prayer room. And as we've sat there in the silence, almost in a monastic way, we have thought to ourselves, this is real worship. But whether we've had those experiences or not, and in my experiences, I've had both of those experiences, and I have been grateful for both and seen them both as true worship, I want to ask the question, is that it? Is that really what worship is about? And as we come to this passage today, we're going to look at what Paul says about what real worship is. And Paul doesn't always perhaps say what we expect he might do. We pick up this reading today at the end of chapter 11 and on into chapter 12. And Paul has spent 11 chapters of Romans, in effect, exploring what God has done in his rescuing, in coming to a world through Jesus, to a world that has rebelled against God and has moved forward against his designs and against his plans and desires. And he has laid out, in effect, the gospel message, the good news of salvation for 11 chapters. Chapter 1, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith. Chapter 3, now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood. Chapter 8, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free. Paul has pointed out that there are time and again opportunities for us to look to Jesus, to look to all that he has done in the message of good news, and 11 chapters pointing this out to us. And we get to this point, and Paul in effect says, you will want to embrace the gospel, and we will want to worship. We will want to worship in a way that responds to that message of salvation. And it's not an unexpected message, that as a result of what God has done, we will want to worship him. But when Paul moves on to unpack what worship looks like, maybe that was a surprising message to those who heard it at the time, and maybe to us too. Because the Jewish hearers who were listening to this or reading this in Rome would have known what worship was like in their experience. It was to do with temples, it was to do with offerings, it was to do with sacrifices. And the Gentiles as well, the non-Jews, as they would have looked to their traditions and their background and their experience of what it meant to worship, they too would have looked to their temples, their offerings, their sacrifices. And Paul's message to both groups is that worship entails so much more. It involves our living bodies. It involves the whole of us. And in perhaps a way that would have been shocking to the hearers, Paul takes it and says it's about coming to God and living life as a living body of worship to him. And maybe we look at our lives and it seems so inappropriate for worship. We look at ourselves and we think, well, actually, if Paul had known what I was really like, would he really have said that I'm going to use my body as a living sacrifice? Perhaps we feel slightly worn out. We feel badly used. And not to put too fine a point on it, we feel ordinary. But Paul states regarding worship, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Our bodies, our very selves, our active participation with who we are in this act of worship to God. This is what it's about. Let's look further into what Paul says now. He starts off by saying that worship is a response to God's mercy. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your proper worship. And we need to start with this point of it being a response. It's a lived out response to all that Jesus has done for us. It's a response to God's proactive mercy, him taking that view of us that went to and beyond the point of death for us in Christ. Recognizing that he has done everything to be our life's breath. And our worship is a response to that. But he goes on to say not only is it a response to God's mercy, but it involves our everyday lives. It involves all of us during this week. For some of us, we come here and we come for an hour or so on a Sunday, but this is not the totality of worship. This is a place where we can gather. This might be a base camp where we can come and be reinvigorated, inspired, where we can join together. But this is not the totality of worship. It involves the ordinary. There is to be no sacred, secular divide in our lives. If someone wakes you up at 2 o'clock on Tuesday morning and you're sort of asleep and you wake up and think, ah, and they say, what's life all about? At that moment, we are to have the same attitude to God of being a life of worship as we are in these moments here. When we're on the train and someone comes and sits next to us and we just think, oh, you know what, I just wanted to sit here with my laptop and my book and now I'm sitting like this like a penguin or a sardine. At that moment, our life is to be an attitude of worship, a lived out expression of how do I cope with this situation? How do I cope with this frustration when my computer goes wrong? How do I cope with this frustration when this email has just not sent? How do I cope with this frustration where I've sent my email and I thought it was dealt with and then I get a reply and I haven't got time to deal with this? Not on top of that as well? Don't you know what I've got to do tomorrow? What is worship about at that moment? All of life, a lived out worship. We are to worship God in church. We are to worship God in our homes. We are to worship God in our streets. We're to worship God in our workplaces, our clubs and societies. We are to worship God with everything we are. We're to worship God with our attitudes, with our finances, with our thought lives, with our politics, with our decision making, with our conversations, with our leisure. We are to worship God. This is a lifestyle. It is ongoing. It is at times costly, but it is everyday life. It is allowing God to use us to be salt and light wherever we go. All of life lived out in God's presence, in God's ways, for God's glory. This is what worship is about. Can't we see? It's the totality. This is all encompassing. The Message version of the Bible, I love these words, translating the first part of Romans 12 in these words. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary lives, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. All of us, our totality. And isn't this what the Bible talks to us constantly about? Taking the everyday normality of life and allowing in Christ and his Spirit for them to be transformed into extraordinary acts of worship to God. What is true religion? What's true religion, James? Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself untainted by the world. It's not about playing the timbrel and the lyre, not about playing musical instruments totally. That is a subset of worship, and we're to do that with joy and thanksgiving in our hearts. But there are times when actually it's looking out for the widow and the orphan, looking at their distress, looking at their lifestyle and saying, how can I model God to these people right now? What can I do to allow this situation to be one where I can worship God with my love, my care, my obedience, my opportunity to fulfill the Father's will? There have been so many acts of worship that have been undertaken in this place today. We've joined in some of them together. We've sung our songs. We've prayed our prayers. But someone came and opened the door. Someone ensured that the heating was set. Someone has helped me with the printing of this sermon when my printer busted. Someone has helped by ensuring that these words are going to go out on the internet so that people at home can listen to them. Through the PowerPoint, through the sound, through the heating, through the mundane things of who's checked the toilet rolls in the toilet. This is an act of worship because we're saying we're bringing all of life as an expression of selfless sacrifice to God. And there'll be meetings and things that will take place in these buildings and beyond in the coming days. There'll be the pastoral care team meeting. There'll be the elders meeting. There'll be girls' brigade. Outside of this, there'll be home groups. There'll be toddler meetings. There'll be welcome break. There'll be all sorts of things happening. There'll be phone calls. People will be phoning the White family this week, I'm sure. There'll be acts of worship this week. But it's not just about this service, 10:30. It's not just about this place, DBC. It's about going beyond there. It's about being at work and sitting with the person who is on their own in the lunch break, recognizing their loneliness in that moment as people are having their conversations and they're just sitting there with their sandwich feeling lonely. Worship is about going over and saying to them, hello, can I join you? Can I allow this totally mundane moment of sandwich eating to be an opportunity of worship, to say, I see loneliness in that person, and I'm going to share something of the love of God with them. May or may not talk about God, but you will express God to them. It's about recognizing that in the workplace, there will be people from mainland Europe this week who are feeling very, very unsure about the future, are feeling really uncertain about things, are feeling, actually, am I welcome in this land anymore? I used to feel I was, and I'm not sure anymore. And it's about getting alongside them and saying, this is a tough time for us all. Do you want to have a chat? Do you want to have a coffee? I just want you to know that I really care about you. Is that not worship? Is that not allowing our deeds to outrun our words of songs and what we say in this place? Is it not the outworking of God bringing light and salt? Real worship, turning the extraordinarily mundane in many ways into extraordinary opportunities for God's kingdom values to be worked out on earth. Isn't it what Jesus demonstrated with every waking moment and sleeping moment of his life? Living amongst otherwise unschooled fishermen, and people looked at them, and they became known as a model for godly wisdom because Jesus had been with them. Pointing out a widow, putting in a financially small amount of money, a copper coin, into an offering, and pointing that up and holding her up as an example of what it means of godly sacrifice. Walking amongst and engaging with those with contagious skin diseases, and in so doing, offering them dignity and hope that goes beyond their circumstance and points them to God. Having a meal in the home of a swindling tax official and giving to that man the opportunity for renewed purpose, bathing him in hope and opportunity. Worship is a response to God's mercy. Worship involves our everyday life. And worship is a decision to be shaped by God. It's about choices. It's about a choice as to how we respond to God. We are to present our bodies. We are to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. And Paul links worship with changing the way that we think. In the culture of the day in Rome, people had a certain way of doing things, a certain way of thinking about things. But Paul knows that if you're a follower of Jesus, that primarily the way you're going to think about life is not going to be shaped by the Roman society. It's going to be shaped by who you are in Christ. You're not necessarily going to go along with all the things that the Roman society says because you have a new priority, a priority of seeking to live life and see life through God's eyes. It changes ordinary places with ordinary perspectives of life to start seeing things through God's eyes and saying, God, I want to work out what is it that you're calling me. I don't want to conform any longer to the patterns of this world. I want to see life as you see life. I want to see life with your eyes. I want to be shaped and challenged. I want my heart, my mind, my soul, and my strength to be focused on what you want me to be doing. And when we come with that openness and that willingness to be changed and transformed, so God will reveal to us as well even deeper ways of filling our lives with him and living out God's will in our lives. This week, as every week that we have known, has 168 hours in it, unless there's something strange about clocks are going forward or something, but basically we have 168 hours in the week. We spend about an hour, perhaps an hour and a half here. But God says to us, what about the rest of the week? What about the rest of it? All of life matters. The whole of life matters. Worshipping engages our whole lives. How are we going to respond to that? We'll be thinking about that over coming weeks in greater detail. But how are we going to respond to that today? What are we going to do in response? Let's have the opportunity to spend some time with a reflective prayer before we take communion in a moment or two. I'm going to use a refrain, which is this: in view of God's mercy, we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And then if you're able to respond, this is our true and proper worship. This is our true and proper worship. So I'll say, in view of God's mercy, we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is our true and proper worship. Let's pray together. Father God, we reflect on your mercy. We consider the forgiveness you have granted us through your Son, Jesus Christ. We know we were bought at a price. In view of God's mercy, we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is our true and proper worship. We pray for the grace and strength to offer our all, the tasks we complete, the relationships we value, the activities we enjoy, the possessions we own. Help us to glorify you with all these things. In view of God's mercy, we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is our true and proper worship. We pray that you would renew our minds by the power of the Holy Spirit. Help us to be wary of conforming to the patterns of this world. Make us watchful to see what is shaping our view of the world. In view of God's mercy, we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is our true and proper worship. Finally, we pray for help to know your will. Give us a discerning spirit to know, whether at home, at work, or wherever we are, what your good, pleasing, and perfect will might be. In view of God's mercy, we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is our true and proper worship. We pray all of these things in the name of Christ. Amen.
Amen.